When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I first started, I wanted to do it, but I was too afraid to take the big step. You know, it wasn't until I decided to take action and invest in my education when things started happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that you can't just have your foot in it just a little bit, but not all the way in. If you do that, then nothing's going to happen.
Broadcasting from Terrio Studios in Glendale, California, it's time for Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
Yeah. Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome to you. Welcome to another episode of Epic Real Estate Investing. If this is your first time listening to the show, super glad that you are here. And if this is not your first time, welcome back. This is the place where I teach people how to escape the rat race by investing in real estate. And if I were to do it all over again, I'd do it exactly the same way. And I'd do it exactly the same way whether I had money and credit to work with or not. You're probably getting tired of hearing me say that, but I absolutely mean it. And I just want to emphasize it because, you know, while I was finding my way, I stumbled upon 12 different strategies of investing in real estate using no money. And I didn't have a credit score, so I didn't have that choice either. And I think in hindsight, being forced to get started that way, it made me a better investor. And I'm here to help and make you a better investor as well. That's what I want for you. So what I did is I took those first two strategies of the 12, I put them inside of a free course just for you. I think those two strategies are the easiest and they're the fastest strategies to a paycheck. And you can access that free course at freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. And if you're all super excited about that and you can't wait to get back to your computer, you can access it right there on your phone. Just text free course to 55678. Free course to 55678. Alrighty. So here we are on day five of our epic celebration. We're celebrating our 100th episode this week, our 1 millionth download, and the grand opening of the Epic Pro Academy version 2.0, of which has not quite opened yet. depending on when you were listening to this, I had a perfect celebration planned for all this week, and we got snagged right in the middle with our payment processor, so I haven't been able to open up the Academy. And the day that we're supposed to open up yesterday's episode, I pre-recorded that. So it says we're open on that episode, but we actually weren't. And as of right now, me recording Friday's episode, today's episode, we are still not. So I'm crossing my fingers. It's just going to happen when it's going to happen. I am going to keep my word. Everybody's going to get in. Everyone is going to get the discount code. If you're on the mailing list for the free real estate investing course, if you opted in for that, you will get the discount code. I've already got a slew, an inbox full of what happened type emails. So bear with me. I've done 100% on my part. Now it's in somebody else's hand, and I'm completely at their mercy. So let's just kind of let that happen how it's going to happen. And as of right now, let's get on to what's most important today. I've got another guest, another Epic Pro Academy member, happens to be a former coaching client of mine as well. From right here in Southern California, one of the more challenging markets for my coaching clients, not without success, but it does come a little slower with a little bit more effort. And I'd love to hear about it. I haven't talked to him in a long time, and we didn't even catch up before recording. So I'm going to get to hear all of this. Hopefully he has good things to say about us. This is the first time I've talked to him, and I'm interested to hear what's going on. So I welcome to the show, and you can please help me welcome as well, Mr. Chris Tai. Chris, welcome to Epic Real Estate Investing.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad that you're here, bud. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah.
And I guess we're going to do that catching up right now. But before we get started, just kind of share with everybody, you know, what your background is and what you were doing before you decided to get involved in real estate investing.
Sure. As of a month and a half ago, I just finished 20 years in the military. My background is all military. I also did some time as a police officer in two cities here in the United States, one in California and one in another state. That's been pretty much my background. And with the military, obviously everybody knows if you're in the military, you deploy. as I got older and got a family, I got tired of deploying. So I wanted to figure out what can I do other than this military stuff that's just taking me away from my family. Mm-hmm. So my last deployment, I read that book that probably everyone else has read, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was stuck on a ship, and the library didn't have many books, and I didn't have access to information. So I read that book probably about 2 or 3 times during that deployment.
Mm.
So as soon as I got back, I was determined to learn more about investing and what I can do to really develop that cash flow that everyone talks about. And as soon as I started work, I had a long commute. I commuted 1.5 hours in the morning and about 2 hours after work. And I said, well, you know, I'm just going to use that time to invest in my knowledge, and downloaded some podcasts. And what I did was I did a search on Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I believe yours was the first that came up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got to listening to your podcast. I started from day one, that's how I got into really getting into wanting to do real estate investing.
Perfect.
So that's how I got to where I am.
Okay, so that was actually relatively recently, like maybe in the last couple of years or so, right?
Yeah, in fact, I just got back from that point. Well, not just back, but 2 years ago is when I got back from that point. So it's not that long. It's about 2 years.
Got it. So this hasn't been like a lifelong dream. It hasn't been passed down through your family or anything like that. This was
something at all. In fact, the military has been passed down through my family, so I'm going to try to stop that.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for your service, Chris. We appreciate your support of our country and the sacrifices that you make to keep us all safe so we can invest in real estate and do it freely and make a profit. And welcome to the club, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You bet. So let me ask you about the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. What was it in there that just really, you know, lit you up, that caused you to read it a couple more times after you read it the first time?
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I read it, but it wasn't really, I mean, he touched a bit on real estate in the book, but it was more about creating a cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read the book, it wasn't real estate that I was looking after. I was looking for the idea of how to get that cash flow. And, you know, my thought at the time was real estate was just, you know, I don't want to be a landlord. It's a headache and this and that. And, you know, I was pretty naive.
It can just be a headache.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you just have to choose your headaches.
Yeah. So I think what it was that kept me going back and reading it over and over again is just that I knew that the more I read it, the more I would learn. It would encourage me to think more. And I was hoping that if I keep reading it, the idea would come to my mind and I knew exactly what I was going to do. Obviously, that didn't happen until months later, but that was the reason why I read it a few times.
Got it. Cool. So through a search of just being taking some initiative with your learning and your education, and you found this podcast, you decided to become an Academy member. You decided to take on the role of an apprentice. You joined my coaching program.
Right.
What was it about the podcast that inspired you to, you know, okay, so real estate, that's what it's going to be?
I guess, you know, I listened to, I think it was the first 8 episodes. You covered what it was in the free real estate investing course back then. Then I signed up for the emails and the checked out the video course. Just going through that, it just made sense to me. I said, you know, real estate does make sense as far as creating that passive cash flow that I want. And instead of spending more time searching for the idea, I think that idea is right there in front of me. It's real estate. Mm-hmm. And my wife was had just gotten her real estate license, and she's in real estate. And I'm like, well, you know, it makes sense. I mean, she's into it. I'm into it. And, you know, we could just sit around the dinner table and chat about real estate and have a good conversation about it and, you know, make some money. So I guess that was the reason why I felt real estate was the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I think it does make sense as well.
Yeah.
It makes dollars too, but I'll leave the jokes to the other guys. Anyway. Okay. So I know during our coaching program, we got started and you hit the ground running and you definitely got into action and you were very diligent with that. But our coaching sessions, they ended while you were, I guess, in the middle of 2 different deals. And I never really heard what came of those. So what happened there?
All right. So, I had, I wrote, I don't know how many tons of yellow letters, which generated several phone calls that were really interesting. So the first house that I got under contract really actually was not from a yellow letter. That was from me. I was going to go up to a city that was about an hour away from here. That was kind of an older city with older homes, to check out two for sale by owner houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a search in that city, and I found an old beat up home without a roof. It had been vacant for 7 years, and it looked like another investor was trying to sell it. So I got the address. I did like a phone book research online, found the owner's name, called and left several messages, and she ended up calling me back. So anyway, I ended up getting it under contract, and that house was a headache. I had it under contract for, I think, 4 months before I was able to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a challenge because it had about $26,000 worth of liens on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was not worth much more than that. And it was difficult to find someone to buy that house. And at the end of the day, it just got to the point to where I had to just forget about trying to make money on it and just get this off my back.
Mm-hmm.
And get it sold. So that's what I did after about 4 months. So
got it.
I learned a lot, but it was not anything that I made money on, definitely.
Got it.
The second house I got under contract
from that house, Chris, you made absolutely nothing. It was just a walk away, and
because it came down to if at first I was going to make about $2,000 or so off the house,
mm-hmm.
and it came down to it, the owner of the house wouldn't budge. I talked her down from like $13,000 all the way down to $3,000. She wouldn't budge on the price. The buyer wouldn't budge. After 4 months, I couldn't find a buyer. So I'm like, okay, either I just say, you know what, forget it and let this transaction happen, or I can just hold on to it and try for another 4 months to make some money off it. So I didn't make any money off of it. But the owner of the house, the seller, did knit a blanket for my son. So I did get something out of it.
Perks. Perks.
Yeah.
So did you just let the property go, or did you just find someone that would take it?
No, someone bought it. He rehabbed it. He had to tear it down and build a new house. So,
right.
I mean, there's a new house. There's tenants there. It looks nice. I mean, at the end of the day, my efforts did make a nice house for the community, and the code enforcement officer didn't have to deal with that property anymore. So,
well, there you go.
I mean, I guess I feel good about that.
Still serving the country. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's go to the next deal. I remember this one.
Yeah, the second one, you know, this was a really good property. It had two houses on one lot in San Diego, and it was great. The owner of the house had some mental issues, and he was a hoarder, and the state of his house was just a mess. But the rental property in the back had a tenant that was performing, it was doing well. I got it under contract. He owed some money on it. I got a few buyers that were interested in it, but the problem was they all found a huge crack in the foundation in the back house.
Mm.
And for some reason, you know, I'm not all that knowledgeable of, you know, construction and stuff like that, but apparently this was a big deal to where really they didn't want to touch it. And if they did, they wanted something, they wanted to buy it for a value less than what the guy owed on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried seeing if, you know, we can do it as a short sale situation. But at the end of the day, the seller the contract ended, and he just wanted out of it. And that was the end of it. So, I didn't get anything out of that either.
Okay, so they just canceled the...
it was a canceled contract. So if it wasn't for that foundation, there was a potential of making some pretty good money out of that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, essentially strike two, right?
Yeah, strike two.
And then I never really heard from you again, so bring me up to speed. What's been happening since then? That's probably, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, that was about a year ago. So what happened after that was, you know, obviously two deals, I wouldn't say gone bad. It's not like I lost money, but, you know, I put a lot of effort towards them, and they didn't work out as well. So kind of got burnt out a little bit. But at the same time, you know, I was working full-time in the military. you know, 8-hour days plus my 4-hour day commute was just killing me. Mm-hmm. And then coming home and trying to do all these yellow letters at night. So I ended up having some, you know, with the long hours and everything, just kind of some issues that were affecting my health. So I just said, you know, I need to chill out and take a break for a little bit. And plus my wife was trying to build her business. So, you know, someone had to watch the kid at night. So, you know, I wanted to support her by giving her the time to work on her business.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of took a lot of time to just focus on, you know, what do we want to do? I mean, you know, you said before to focus on the cash flow rather than the quick flip, right? So that's what I wanted to focus more on was the cash flow, because that's what I wanted at the end of the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a retirement account from a job before I went back on active duty, and it was still sitting in a IRA, you know, just making like 3% a year or whatever. And at the same time, I was listening to Mark Kohler's show, and Mark had mentioned something about a self-directed IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted him, got a consultation with him. He got me in touch with some good people, so I moved my stuff over to a self-directed IRA. And I spent probably about 10 months interviewing, I don't know, a few people, at least 5 people, on where to invest this money.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I decided to create an LLC in Illinois, put an offer on 5 homes out there, and it was accepted, so in a short sale situation. So I, with my retirement account, owns 5 homes in Illinois.
Mm.
In fact, we have a 6-1 under contract right now that should be closing soon. And we're looking at a 7th property that is a multifamily unit that mm-hmm. we'll be getting with a down payment and seller financing.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, you know, it's cool. I mean, I can't touch that money now because it's in my IRA, but mm-hmm. at least I know my retirement's going to be okay. And then, you know, my wife and I right now are just kind of game planning on what can we do right now to use the money we saved right now to get cash flow with that money that we can actually touch, you know, now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you end up in Illinois? Are you still living in Southern California?
Yeah, I still live in Temecula. So
okay.
I interviewed somebody in New York, and I was listening to a lot of podcasts. I was doing a lot of reading on real estate investing websites, and I came across Illinois. You can get a property out there for fairly cheap, and I only had about, I think, 40, 45 grand in my retirement account, so it's not like I could buy a house in Southern California with that.
Mm-hmm.
In Illinois, you know, the houses are cheap, and I just, with all the people I talked to, that was the one I felt most comfortable with. There's more options at the time, so that's why I chose Illinois.
Got it. Super. So, kind of diverted your journey through a wholesaling route or a flipping route into more of
right.
the cash flow route immediately.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, looking back, like in the on your wholesaling part, what would you do differently, knowing what you know now?
What would I do differently? I think, I started going to a real estate investing club locally here, and, you know, being the new guy and not really knowing not knowing much about the real estate investing stuff, I put my trust in these guys a little too much, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I found out they were as inexperienced as I was. Mm-hmm. So I put a lot of trust in these guys, and I, instead of relying on my own abilities to do good research and due diligence, I relied on these guys a little too much. And I think if I had not done that, perhaps I would have gotten a deal on that second property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just assuming. I could be wrong in that. I think that's what I would have done differently, is that I would have really felt more confident in my abilities to do the research and do the work to get the job done, instead of trying to do a team effort, if
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. You know, I just held an online coaching session, I don't know, 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
And one of the comments, I always open up the end of those coaching sessions for questions. And
right.
One of the questions was came from someone who's just getting started, and that she said that she went to a real estate investors club and she was very intimidated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you navigate through that situation when you feel like everybody knows more than you do? And I kind of straightened her out with, I don't know if I straightened her out, but I tried to put everything in perspective for her that, you know, when you're not doing any deals and you go to the clubs, you feel like you're the only one there not doing deals.
Yeah, right.
And then when you do just one or two deals and you go to the clubs, you quickly realize you're the only one that did a deal that month.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah. I think that's a good point, is to have a lot more confidence in your current capabilities. I mean, you need the education. Yeah. I mean, you need good guidance, but you know, most people don't need as much hand holding as they think they do. And the other people out there, they're not doing as much as you think they are. There's a lot of people out there that can talk a good game. They might have been attending seminars for years, so now they've got the spiel down, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But when it really comes down to it, there's not a whole lot of people out there taking action. And another big fear that people have is because of so many people talking the talk out there, they feel there's a bunch of competition, so they never get started as well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The competition is a fraction of what you think it is. It's a fraction, regardless of what you're hearing people say. So,
right.
I'm glad I agree
with that. And you know what I found out was, you know, doing all these yellow letters and all the phone calls I was getting and stuff, and you know, I would meet with these people and, you know, I would share with them, yeah, I got a second house under contract, and all of a sudden they just wanted to, like, jump on the bandwagon and like, oh, hey, I want to be a part of this deal, you know, we can work together, and it just seemed like, you know, they wanted me to do all the work and jump on it and try to get a piece of the action and get paid, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you know, it got to the point where it got frustrating, and I you know, just called the guy and said, hey, look, man, I don't think, you know, I want to be a part of this team. I just don't see it happening because I just didn't see the workload being equally divided upon the team. And
that's what you were telling him.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You know, it's I've heard this several times, and it sounds like you're experiencing it also. It's, you know, after going through the academy and taking on those lessons, and then you go start talking to people and you actually did get into action. I mean, you quickly become the teacher. You don't realize how much you actually know and how much more you know than everybody else. And I'm not surprised at all that people are gravitated towards you and, wow, he's a doer. I can hold on to him and he'll go do it for me. And then you quickly notice that, you know, you end up doing all the doing.
You know, I noticed that. I mean, when I first started doing it, people were just kind of rolling their eyes. I'm like, oh, okay, you're one of those guys. And then, you know, like recently I get these houses, those five homes and the sixth one under contract. And I'm explaining to them, you know, how I got it, my, you know, options for my exit strategy, if I want to buy and hold or if I want to just fix them up and maybe sell them a seller financing to another investor or whatever. I mean, there's several options there. And they're like, oh, wow, this is interesting. You know, and now they're really interested. It's one of those things that now they're asking me how I did it, you know, and it feels pretty good because I feel like in a way I've accomplished something, you know?
Totally. Well, you totally have. But you realize how just the basics can blow people's minds away.
Yeah.
I could either hold on to it or I could sell it seller financing. Oh my God, you can do that? You know, like, aren't you at a real estate investor club right now? Isn't this like what you guys do?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Super. So you've got a multifamily right now under contract?
No, it's that multifamily is one we're going to get under contract here in a bit. We got to figure out because there's three homes that need to be worked on. So we got to figure out how much money we got left over. You know, after we do the assessment of how much work needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We're just determining how much we can put down for the seller finance. So right now I think it's going to be a sure thing, but we just got to figure out how much we can afford to put down.
Perfect.
I'm looking forward to that one. I've always wanted to have a multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it'd be cool to have an apartment building too. So, you know,
it is.
Still have some time left for me yet. So.
Okay. So let's go back to, I'm trying to listen to everything you say and then I forget what I was going to ask. Okay. So you only had 40 grand and 40, 50 grand to play with in your retirement account, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. Now you're working on your seventh property. Is all of this in your retirement account?
No, some of it is, I partnered with somebody. So some of it, well, actually, we went 50-50. So some of it is his and some of it's mine. So if that makes sense.
Okay. No problem. Yeah. Got it. So you've formed some partnerships. And yep. Where did you find mm-hmm. your partner?
Well, you know, that's another thing you talk about. Majority of your deals is done through your network. So of all the people I've met, and, you know, this is somebody I've came across while working and consulting with Mark Kohler, mm-hmm. Came across my partner, and that's how I met him.
Super. Yeah, you know, as long as you're in action, these people gravitate to you, and some of them you want them to cling on, and some of them you don't,
as
you experienced. Perfect. So you got a deal under seller financing, which is always exciting to me. So how did you find that deal?
It came across my partner's desk. I guess he's managing the property, has been managing it for quite some time. And the owner just came up to him one day and said, hey, I want to get this property off my books. Mm-hmm. You know, I own it outright and I'll, you know, offer seller financing. She trusts him, and so that's how that came across. And in fact, the sixth property that we have under contract right now, he's checking out one of our properties that we had just bought, just looking around at see how much work needs to be done and whatnot. And then the neighbor came out. She goes, "Hey, you want to buy my house too?" And he goes, "Yeah, let me take a look at it." So one thing led to another, and we got that house under contract.
Super, dude. That's exactly how it happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it happens. So very good. Just staying in action, and what do they say, a rolling stone gathers no moss, right?
Yeah.
And just money and opportunity is attracted to people that are in motion. It's attracted activity. So great.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got that. And any plans do you see? Are you just focused on that right now, or do you have an idea of what's just beyond that for you?
Well, you know, I mean, that's my retirement account. So I want to build that as much as I can so that, you know, my kids and my grandkids and stuff can benefit from it. But my wife and I have been talking the last week about what do we want to do right now. So we're looking to use our savings to do the same thing with our savings money,
mm-hmm.
So that we can start generating the cash flow that is separate from the retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the same strategy, mm-hmm. And just keep buying properties, you know, when it makes sense. You know, when we hear about seller financing and we have the money down, you know, jump at it if it makes sense, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a subject to possibility, then and the bank's willing to work with us, then, you know, we'll jump on that too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing I don't want to do is pay full price for a house when, you know, the return on investment would be much more if I could just put some money down and get seller financing or subject to.
Right. Super. You're talking like a pro now.
I feel like it.
Super. Well, it's been awesome to catch up with you.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you, is there some place that you could guide them?
Yeah. So they can email me if they like. My first name, Chris, CHRIS. Last name, Tighe, TIGHE. The number 5@gmail.com. ChrisTighe5@gmail.com is my email address.
Super. Fantastic. Well, let's stay in touch. Let's not let another year go by before we connect again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. And then you can come back and tell us all about your new stuff. Sound good?
That's right. Sounds good, man.
Super, bud. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, so all this week, and I'm not sure exactly when you're going to be listening to this episode because of our little snafu, but there will be 5 total interviews of Academy members, their experiences, and you just heard from Chris Tighe. And so all this week, if you missed any of those, you're going to want to go back. Our first day on Monday, we had Kenny Castillo. On Tuesday, we had Nicole Bryan. Wednesday, we had Mike Slane. The episode just before this one was Ryan Ball. And then today, Chris. So if you missed any of those, go check them out. There's so much to learn from those interviews. It's so nice and refreshing to get real world experiences and to hear how it actually happens. You know, the yellow letters will generate leads and they will create deals. The postcards will, the signs will. But what I really want you to get from Chris is, and I had no idea where this conversation was going because we did absolutely zero catching up before we started this recording, was that he's just out there and didn't give up. And then the activity, like through the, whether it's the Real Estate Investor Club, they hear that he did a deal or two and all of a sudden everybody wants to be his partner. He had to take a little bit of a break. He had some, his life was happening in the middle of all this. So he took a little bit of a break and then he kind of regrouped. He went and continued his education and went and found another solution and found partners. And because he was constantly activity, more and more opportunities are coming to him. And that's exactly how it happens. But it's not going to happen unless you actually get started. And that's what I commend Chris for. It's what I commend all of our guests this week, Kenny and Nicole and Mike and Ryan. And I've got so many other stories and interviews that I get to share with you and I will continue to share with you. And I invite each and every one of you, if you have something to share, if you have an experience, please come on. I think the real world experience, the real world testimonies of what it's like out there are more helpful than anything that you could ever learn from someone that, you know, in a workshop where there's a catch at the end of the presentation. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think you get two different perspectives. And I just want you to have both. I want you to have a good foundation, a good, well-rounded education around real estate and how it works and how it can work for you is probably the most important part. That's what's most important to me is that you actually get your results. All right. So go ahead and check all of those interviews out. I've got more coming for you. And hopefully by the time you are listening to this voice, the Epic Pro Academy is open. I wish I could say go now, but I don't even know. I don't even know what's going to happen. I've been told in just a few hours, we will have our merchant account up and running, but I will be working all night until it is available. And I will extend whatever I have to extend to make sure that it's fair for everybody and everybody gets a fair shot at getting in at this the celebration discount, okay? Alrighty, so that's it for today. And I will see you on the next episode with a brand new episode where I don't know what we're gonna talk about. Who knows what there might be a great lesson to get out of this whole experience this week that might transfer well into real estate. I just got back from a conference in Las Vegas where I learned all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, I'm literally like going to turn my whole business inside out. I'm looking forward to sharing a lot of that with you as well. I mean, I'm really going from AAA to the big leagues here in just a minute. And so I'm super excited about that. So we'll see. We're going to play it by ear and see what next episode holds. But I assure you, it will be something totally awesome. And I guess I should say something totally epic. Alrighty. So that's it. Can't wait. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
You've been
cool. So Chris, you still on the line?
Yep. Still here.
Okay. You had something else you wanted to share. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off so soon.
No problem. Yeah. I just want to encourage everyone. I mean, when I first started, I wanted to do it, but I was too afraid to take the big step. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't until I decided to, take action and invest in my education when things started happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that you can't just have your foot in it just a little bit, but not all the way in. If you do that, then nothing's going to happen. You got to take action. You got to invest in your education or else you're not going to know what you're going to do. And so I just want to encourage people to, if you're thinking about it, if you're interested in it, take action, invest in your education, and it should pay off if you're persistent.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay. Best of luck to you, bud. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Epic Real Estate Investing, the world's foremost authority on separating the facts from the BS in real estate investing education. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to visit iTunes and share your thoughts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here at Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.